about working out, and I was over there, and I was had my shoulders like that, and I just knew just any minute he was going to get me up, and he never did. And so I've been angry at him for a little while, and Sister Faye Worley taught at her VIP supper, and she talked about being angry and how it can turn into bitterness. And so, Gary, I forgive you. I'm not going to get bitter about that. Amen. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Would you stretch forth your hands to me tonight and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me tonight? Father, as we come in the lovely name of Jesus, we thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the power of God that we feel in this place here tonight. I pray that your Spirit would flow throughout the remainder part of this service. And I pray that one that needs a miracle, that even while I'm speaking tonight, that they'll receive that miracle. Let seeds be planted tonight, and let there become a harvest from those seeds that are planted. In Jesus' name, we pray. Well, I need to put this mic down and change to my other mic, I guess. Test. Check. I kind of wanted to keep that one because I kind of felt like an evangelist for a few minutes. I'm going to read from the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. And I'll tell you up front tonight that there would be no way in a Wednesday night setting that I would have time to cover this subject, because there's so much that could be said. But I do want to say enough that would encourage you to become a student of God's Word and study for yourself. And let the Holy Spirit teach you the truth. How many knows that it's the truth that sets us free? But Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God," somebody thank God for His grace, "for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." You that you're without an excuse. Amen. It has appeared unto you. It said in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope. Let me say it again. Looking for that blessed hope. And that glorious hearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight, in Jesus Christ, you have hope. I've already read the end of the book. I'm a winner. There's no losers in the kingdom of God. Then he said in verse 14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Amen.
to God's Word. In this message tonight, I want to talk for just a little bit upon what I call the two most confusing events found in prophecy. Two confusing events found in prophecy. You're looking at someone that loves to study prophecy. I love to study end time events. Many of you have a watch on, and you can look at your watch and you can tell what time it is. Well, I want to tell you, if you'll become a student of the Word of God and study the Scripture, you don't really have to look at your watch to really see what time it is. How many believes that we're living in the last days? If you're not saved, you need to be saved. If you're not where you need to be with God, you need to get right with God. Because I believe that we're living in the last days. The two events that I'm going to quickly talk about tonight is the rapture and the second coming. Would you agree with me that there's a lot of confusion upon these two events? You see, these two events are similar. But what will work with one doesn't work with the other. What I'm talking about, scriptures about the rapture won't work with the second coming. Why? Because there's two different events. But yet both these events describe the return of Christ. But yet, they are different. Now, when I talk about the rapture, I'm talking about the catching away. The catching away of the church. Heard someone one time that made light of this, and supposedly was in the Spirit. But I question what spirit he was in. For we understand all the events or not, how many know that God's Word is going to be fulfilled just like He says? You see, the rapture will occur when Jesus returns for the church. I read to you tonight about that blessed hope that we have in Jesus. And that blessed hope is what we call the catching away of the church. If you're young in the Lord, I would ask the Lord to help me to speak very plain and very simple. That there'll be a seed sown that you will go home with a hunger and thirst to dig in and see what the Bible says about what this preacher was talking about here tonight. But the rapture is when the true believers in Christ are taken from earth into the heaven, or into heaven. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Then notice what Paul said. He said, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." You see, I'm glad that this is not all of it. Then Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and this is what I was singing about here tonight. It says, "For the Lord Himself, not one of His angels, not one of the prophets of old," this is such a serious event, "the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I've had people to say, "I don't believe in shouting." Then you don't believe in the rapture. Because when the Lord comes, He's coming with a shout. And I would dare to say that He's coming for a shouting people. A people that have made themselves ready. I don't know where you're at. Is it all right? I just follow the Spirit, and I don't know where you're at. But you'll notice when I read in the text that it is the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And this is not in my message, but I just feel like I got to say this tonight. It is through the grace of God that the most rank sinner can be saved. Thank God for His grace. Now I want to take you down just a short road, and if there's no rabbits jump out, we won't chase any. But in Genesis 24, 1 through 4, we find that Abraham's servant was sent to get a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. Now you can read this scripture and not really get the fullness of the scripture. I have in the last month been reading through the book of Genesis, and so many things that I have seen that I needed to be reminded of, I guess is the word I'm looking for. You've heard me preach, and I'm going to say it again, and I love types and shadows. I've had people to say, "The Old Testament doesn't interest me." Well, you can't even really understand the New Testament without some knowledge of the Old Testament. We understand that the Old Testament concealed, the New Testament revealed. You see, they didn't even understand in that day some of the things that was taking place, and they didn't understand that it was a shadow, it was a type of things to come. And I want to tell you, if you'll latch on to this tonight, it will change the way you study the Bible. The Old Testament is filled with types and shadows of things to come. When Abraham went up and offered Isaac on the altar, it's a picture, a type of the crucifixion. Time wouldn't allow me to go through every step of it, but I'll tell you, it's beautiful to see the picture, the type that it was pointing to. But just for a few moments, let's spend just a little time here. Look at the Scripture this way. Abraham, a type of God, sent his servant to get a bride for Isaac, Rebecca. Rebecca being a type of the church. And Brother Gary, if I step out of line, will you nudge me just a little bit here tonight and understanding that Abraham being a type of God, Rebecca being a type of the church, and his son Isaac being a type of Christ. Once again, the Old Testament concealed, the New Testament revealed. We see the connection in Ephesians 5:25. Where it says to the husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. He gave himself for it. Understand that when the servant went to find a bride for Isaac, Rebecca was a virgin bride. And you see the connection in Ephesians 5:26 concerning Christ and the church. That he might sanctify. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the church. Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it, what? The church. To himself a glorious church. Understanding that if you study history and you study the Old Testament, in the Old Testament times, powerful men would steal away their brides. We see this in the story of Abraham, a type of God, Isaac, a type of Christ. And the servant, a type of the Spirit. The servant went to find a bride. And can I tell you that the Spirit is what draws people into the church? I don't know where you've heard this before, but if you're not, look at your neighbor and say, you better listen. Jesus Christ is coming back for His bride. And the bride is the church. So Abraham, a type of God, Isaac, a type of Christ, and the servant, a type of the Spirit, and Rebecca, a type of the church. The servant, a type of the Spirit, goes and snatches away Rebecca, just like Jesus Christ is going to snatch away the church one day. I said this, and I'm going to say it again. I believe old Gabriel's licking his lips, saying, can I blow the trumpet? Amen? I'm here to tell you the trumpet's going to sound. The church is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wouldn't it be something to be walking through the cemetery? And all the dear saints of God who have died in the Lord, and all of a sudden the graves burst open. I wouldn't want to tarry there very long. The dead rises first, but those that remain are going to be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. And somebody said, well, our church is going to be the first one to go because we're dead. I don't know how you feel. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I got Jesus in me. Woo, hallelujah. I feel something building here tonight. So I want you to understand that all of this is a type of the rapture of the church. Now, understanding that one of the most confusing things that I have dealt with was the catching away of the church and the second coming of Christ. And probably some of you have never done this. The first thing we want to do is run to Matthew 24, and we want to preach rapture out of it. And I've been in some great services, but yet the preacher done it ignorantly. And it looks like rapture. It smells like rapture. But Matthew 24 has nothing, not one thing to do with the catching away of the church. But there's two events. Number one, when Jesus comes for the church, He will come as a thief in the night. Can I get a witness from some of you that know the Bible? Have you read that in the Bible where He comes as a thief in the night? When Jesus comes in the rapture, He comes in the clouds. And I read it to you. We meet Him in the air. I want you to see this. He doesn't come to the earth. He comes as a thief in the night. Trumpet sounds. He comes in the clouds. We meet Him in the clouds. And wherever He's at, that's where we're at. But I want you to notice something that's a little different. You go back even in the Old Testament, and it's concealed, but it's revealing things to come. According to Zechariah 14:4, understanding at the rapture, He doesn't come to the earth. He comes in the cloud. We meet Him in the air. But in Zechariah 14:4, we find that His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Something different. He didn't come in the air. He didn't come in the clouds. We meet Him in the air. His feet doesn't stand upon this earth. But yet at the second coming, He's coming back to this earth. And it says His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." How many knows a thief comes in and takes everything you got and you're gone and you don't know who got it? But heaven and know that at the rapture, He's coming as a thief in the night. This world is not looking for Him. But I am. This world is going to be confused when the rapture takes place because they didn't want to come to church and hear us talk about the rapture of the church because it brought conviction on them. But I'm here to tell you that when He comes, He's coming as a thief in the night. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be with Him forever, ever, and forever. Somebody needs to give the Lord a shout of praise tonight. So He's coming as a thief in the night. Now, if you get confused in the Scripture, and you're trying to make all of this into one event, then we got a problem. In Revelation 1 and 7 it says, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindles of the earth shall wail because of him." So you see, he's coming as a thief in the night, and then we find in Revelation 1 and 7, every eye is going to see him. Do you see the difference? Now, how could you come as a thief in the night and ever I see him? Let me put it this way. The rapture will be the glorious event. It's that blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. You don't want to miss the first load. Oh, you didn't hear what I said now. I said, you do not want to miss out on the first load, because the rapture's going to take place. The church is going to be snatched up. Amen. But at the second coming, it's going to be different. Somebody said, you don't want to make Daddy mad. Now, I want to tell you, we're in the grace dispensation. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. But I want to tell you, when He comes the second time, it's going to be different. At the second coming, it's not going to be a glorious event. They're going to wail because of Him. Matthew 24 says that they're going to cry out to the rocks and the mountains, fall on them. Read Matthew 24. But time will not allow me to get into all of this, but would you allow me just enough time to make sure that we understand that we have a blessed hope? You see, I miss my daddy so bad. Anybody with me? Got a loved one that's one on? I miss my mother. I miss my grandparents. I've got a little brother that I don't even know that was died right after birth. I'm going to know him. Why? Because I've got that blessed hope. How many times do we preach a funeral and we talk about what takes place as a Christian? But I believe that it's time the church taps into it. And they realize we're in this world, but we're not part of it. It's time that the church realizes that we have a hope beyond what this world can give. It's time that the church realizes that when our loved one who is a Christian dies and goes before us, that's not the end. I said that is not the end. Matter of fact, if you want to really get into the Scripture, I can show you in the Scripture where there's a cloud of witnesses that's cheering us. Everybody's got their beliefs about that. Some believe it's the Old Testament prophets, and I'm not going to throw rocks at nobody that don't see it my way. I don't know, maybe the Old Testament prophets. But I'm here to tell you, there's people that have made it. Amen. And they're looking down from the grandstands of heaven, and they're cheering us on. And they're looking on us tonight on a Wednesday night with all of us tired, wore out, and my Lord, and many discouraged, and some ready to throw in the towel. But I can see them on the grandstands of heaven cheering us on and saying, "David, keep on going." Amen. Brother Underwood, don't throw in the towel. You keep on going. You have that blessed hope. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. So we understand death is not the end. Gary, I know you're older than I am. But when I die, I want you to preach my funeral if you're able at the age you are. But I want you to leave one part out. I want you to leave that part out that he died on this date. Because there's no truth in that. Because I've never been so much alive as I am when I die in the Lord. When I draw my last breath here, I'm taking my next breath in the presence of God. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. My. Hallelujah to God. I know it's Wednesday. Now we ain't supposed to feel this way on Wednesday. I can't help it. It's bubbling up on the inside of me. I've got hope. We shall be changed. I want to tell you, this old body will be changed. How quick? In the moment and the twinkling of an eye. Change. My prayer is tonight, Lord, change me just a little bit before I go. Rhonda's coming to the piano. Wednesday night is hard on us. I know that. We're all tired. We come to church, we want that boost to get us to Sunday. I'd love to just been able to just spend all my time tonight. But I want to tell you, I got some notes that I'll be proud. I'll be glad to share with you. I'm going to quickly, and I'm going to give you the scriptures, and if you want a list of these scriptures, I'll be glad to give them to you. There's an important difference between the catching away of the church and the second coming. At the rapture, believers meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. But at the second coming, believers return with the Lord to the earth. For He puts His feet, He comes with 10,000s of His saints. Today they don't want to listen to us. But I want to tell you, they're going to want to listen to us then. The second coming occurs after the great and I don't know how to say it any other way, the terrible tribulation found in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. But I believe the scripture that the rapture occurs before the tribulation. Why? Because as a saint of God, I found what the Scripture says, that He's not appointed me to wrath, but to attain salvation. How many saved tonight? I want to tell you, God loves you. Amen. The rapture is the removal of believers from the earth as an act of deliverance. Groaning pains and all of this, but I'm here to tell you there is a deliverance for the people of God. We fight against the evil of this world, and I get tired of fighting. I preached on abortion more in the last few years than I probably ever have. Talk about it. Evil of this world. Nobody knows anymore what's right. And if you stand up for what's right, people get offended at you. But I'm here to tell you, there is a deliverance for the saints of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17, chapter 5, verse 9. But the second coming includes the removal of the believers as an act of judgment. The raptured saints, they're in heaven. Marriage supper of the Lamb takes place. All this takes place. But upon this earth, there's judgment. And I want you to get this. The tribulation, you know, Jesus came to His own and His own received Him not. The tribulation period is a time of Jacob's trouble. I can show you scripture. What's that mean? Jacob, Israel. The second coming, they're going to know without a doubt that He's a King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. You miss the rapture of the church, you'll do it on your own free will because you rejected Jesus Christ. But the second coming is going to be an act of judgment. Matthew 24:40-41. The rapture will be a secret, will be a secret event, an instant. I mean, the moment and the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:50-54. But the second coming will be visible to all. Revelation 1:7, Matthew 24:29-30. The second coming of Christ will not occur until after certain events that takes place. He that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and people debate over who the he is. But all the signs are to the second coming, not the rapture. Because it can happen any moment, in a moment and the twinkling of an eye. The rapture will be intimate. It could take place at any moment. We don't know the time, but we can know according to the Scripture the seasons. And believe me, according to what I see, the rapture's got to be close. And as you stand in, I hope I've not tried your patience tonight. My goal is to get you up, not keep going till you get down, but find the peak and let you go. But I want to tell you tonight, according to the Word of God, come on, make your way right on down. There may be somebody else that you feel the need to have that assurance. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. That blessed hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Jesus. Can I tarry just for a moment, brother? I'm going to pray for you here just in a second. But I just want to tarry just for another moment because somebody needs that blessed hope. They need the strength of the Holy Spirit. They need the power of God. They need the miracle working power of God in their life. God's calling your name. As that servant went to find Rebecca, the type of the Spirit is drawing you into the body of Christ. as you stretch forth your hands towards Him.